As we've been going through the kingdom parables and learning more about the kingdom, do y'all know I've heard the kingdom of God preached comparatively to other subjects very few times in my life. It became so important to me to think about this because Jesus spoke so much about the kingdom and yet we hear so little preached about it. And when I started looking at it, I realized the whole Bible's talking about the kingdom. So it's imperative that we understand how it operates, how the many different facets of it. So, and the Bible is written so that things make sense within the context. That doesn't mean you're going to understand everything about what's written in it. But we don't want to fall into the trap of cherry-picking scriptures out of their context and try to develop a doctrine or a teaching on it. And I think, where we all are guilty of it at some point, but we need to watch and make sure that we don't do that. So the context matters in all things, especially in the scriptures. So today I'd like to look at the big picture of the circumstance of Jesus speaking about this parable of the householder, of the kingdom being like a man that's a householder in chapter 20. But let's back up and get the context in the 19th chapter. We see the account of Jesus speaking to the rich young ruler. And you know, he asked him, or the rich young ruler asked Jesus, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Well, how many of y'all can do anything to inherit anything? You get an inheritance because you are a child or something is bequeathed to you from someone else. You don't do anything to inherit anything. Y'all understand that? You didn't do anything to be the son of your parents or daughter of your parents, and yet you have an inheritance, albeit so small as it may be, naturally. At the very least, you inherited a name. Now, so the premise of this from the get-go is misinterpreted by so many people. They think they can do something to inherit eternal life, and you can't. Now, let's look at this because this is going to have a bearing on the kingdom and the principle that he's going to talk about in the householder. So he said, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And we know the story. Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There's only one good, that's God. But if thou wilt enter into life." You get it? You know, words mean something when you read the Bible. Jesus didn't say, "But if you will enter into eternal life." He said, "But if thou wilt enter into life," he put things back into context, didn't he? And so he says, "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." The rich young ruler said unto him, "Which commandments?" Well, why would you ask which ones? If Jesus said, "Keep them all, keep the commandments," why would you ask, "Which ones do I need to keep?" Jesus said, "If you enter into life, keep them all." Why would you want to cherry pick commandments to keep and commandments to throw away. Y'all get it? So he says, which, and Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father or thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Boy, if you just did those, you'd be doing good, wouldn't you? But the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? So he's asking the question, I've done all these things. I've kept them. Now I want to submit something to you for your consideration. I was born with a good name. And I have hopefully kept that good name. I haven't lost the good name. I think at some level these Jews had thought that they were born into God's family and that they were born with something good, and God gave them the commandments to keep. So they started off perfect in their estimation. And they kept that in terms of holding on to it and not losing it. Y'all see the point? So they weren't keeping the law in order to obtain something. They were keeping the law in their own mind and in terms of not losing it. Do y'all ever thought about it that way? Keeping the law? You can look at it both ways, can't you? Now, Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect or complete, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, I want us to remember some things about the kingdom before I get into this. Do y'all know that this rich young ruler was unwilling to do it? He was unwilling to do the thing that Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect and enter into life. He was unwilling to let go of that which the world afforded and that allowed him great freedom in the kingdoms of the world. He had great riches. Remember, we talked about earlier what allows you the ability to navigate in the economy of the world was money. And he was unwilling to forsake that in order to enter into life. That's what Jesus said. Now, many people, I want us to be clear on this. Many people put the rich young ruler and preach him that he is in hell today because he didn't let go of his riches and follow Jesus. They're applying it wrongly because in Mark it says that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Now, if you put the rich young ruler in hell, you got a Bible problem. Because you've got someone that Jesus loved in hell. And if someone that Jesus loved is in hell, then he didn't save the ones that he loved. And I submit to you that he saved every one of them that he loved. Amen. Amen. So we're not talking about an eternal application for this rich young ruler. We're talking about, he thought about eternal life, the rich young ruler's context in the way that he asked him. But Jesus changed the context and said, if thou wilt enter into life, do this. And he didn't do it. And he went away sorrowful. You know, it's going to cost you something. Discipleship always comes at a cost. Now, So I want us to remember this point about the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is going to operate on the same exact basis now that it does in glory. It's not going to change the way that it operates, because God don't change. God is the king over his kingdom, and he runs it on the same rules and regulations now that it will be in glory. The kingdom of God is consistent with itself. It's not going to change how it operates when we get to glory. You know, the only difference that will be seen in the kingdom of God is that when the kingdom is delivered up, its subjects will be sinless. And right now, the sinners are in the kingdom of God. Because aren't you sinners? Are you in the kingdom of God today? I pray that you are. It's going to be nice when we get to glory and we can experience our full inheritance without sin. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to wake up and not have an impure or foolish thought before I get out of bed. Have y'all ever prayed in the morning time before you got out of bed and you fell asleep? Or you ever prayed and your mind went to something? I remember one time I was praying, and in the middle of my prayer, I started thinking about cooking food. That's strange. That's our fallible mind. The difference between the kingdom now and the kingdom then is we still are vexed with the presence of the old man in our nature. The old man. And really, this is talking about the old man versus the new man. For us to experience the inheritance, the earnest of our inheritance is what we enjoy now. And that's the same exact thing that we're going to experience in glory when we experience the full inheritance. Y'all understand what earnest money is when you buy houses, don't you? People give you earnest money so that they let you know that they're serious about buying your house. And that money that you got for the earnest is the same exact kind of money that they're going to pay you for on the full price. So the earnest of our inheritance are the joys of heaven that we experience now. It's not different. It's the same kind of thing. We just experience them as sinful beings now. When we get to glory and the kingdom is delivered up, we're going to experience them without sin. Incorruptible. Now, to experience the blessings of the kingdom now, we've got to put off the old man and put on the new man, which is created in Christ Jesus, right? That new man. The old man is the deeds of the flesh. The old man is, and we're called to mortify the deeds of our flesh and put on the new man, which is the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. It's all of those things that we put on. It's to put off the old man with his thoughts. You remember the natural kingdoms operate by self-preservation and self-promotion? Remember that? Let's look at this now. So, then answered Peter. Well, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. This is not talking about rich men are bad. That talks about how difficult it is for people that have so much of this worldly possessions to enter into the kingdom of God, to let them go. It's hard for a rich man to let go of his riches. Y'all remember, I believe it was J.D. Rockefeller, the richest man in the world at one time, they asked him, how much money is enough? And he says, just a little more. Just a little more. How hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of God? It's not talking about entering into heaven. It's talking about entering into the kingdom and experiencing the joys and blessings of the kingdom and the earnest of our inheritance right now. Now, when his disciples heard what Jesus said about that, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? If rich men can't go because they've not let go of their riches, and that principle could be applied to anybody that doesn't let go of this world. They're asking, who then can be saved? And Jesus responds to them, and he says, with men this is impossible. Why? Because I don't care whether you're rich or poor, whatever you have in this world, man is not going to choose to let go of it in order to get something better, because he don't know it. It's not possible for a man to save himself, but it's possible with God. Y'all get it? A natural man in his natural ability, thinking with his natural mind and going after the natural things, it's impossible. But it's possible with God. He says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now get this. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, he's telling Jesus to take notice. Look at us. That's what we do when we behold something, isn't it? Peter says, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? What is Peter saying? He's saying, that rich young ruler didn't do it, but we did it, Lord. What are we going to get? What are we going to get? What merit are we going to have? More than this man, more than this rich man, because he didn't do it. What are we going to get extra? Y'all see the motive of Peter in asking the question. He's like, all these others have forsaken you. And Peter said that to him later on too. He said, though all would forsake you, I'll never do it. And then the cock crowed three times and he wept bitterly, didn't he? This Peter, so bold as to tell the Lord, we've left everything. And he wasn't lying about it. They had, didn't they? They left their natural nets. I mean, their commerce, their job. They left their job where they got money and they followed Jesus. That's just like you quit. If a man come and saw you at the post office, he says, come and follow me. And you said, all right, guys, I'm out of here. No more paychecks, none of that. And that's what they did. And Peter says, Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? He's looking to get some kind of reward, isn't he? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration When the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, that's he ain't waiting to do that, folks. He's already sitting there. Amen?
Amen.
So he's talking about now. But that time wasn't yet, because he hadn't died and risen again yet. He says, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He says, that's what you're going to get, Peter. You're going to stand in judgment of the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's it. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, and he opens it up now, and he says, and everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. He goes back to the rich young ruler, don't he? He says, if you want to inherit everlasting life and enjoy it now, he says, what you're going to give up is not near as costly as what you'll get. It's not near as valuable as what you get. Y'all remember Job? He lost his children, didn't he? He lost everything he had except his wife, and she told him to curse God and die. And in the end, it says that Job was restored, I think it was sevenfold, to what he had before. Now, whatever you give up in the old man, you're going in exchange. What you'll get in exchange is far better than what you gave up. It's hard for natural-minded people to give up natural things, isn't it? But the spiritually minded, it's not easy for the spiritually minded person, is it? It's hard. But Jesus promised us that if we let go of that stuff that we hold on to that's of this world, if we let go of that, He'll give us 100-fold more blessings in His kingdom. That's amazing. Now, then He makes this statement. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Y'all ever thought about that? Easy words to understand. But what do they mean in the context? This is the context of this whole next parable. Given this whole context of these things with the rich young ruler and Peter saying, Lord, what shall we have? We've done everything. We've forsaken everything and followed you. And Jesus says, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And then he talks about the householder. Let's read. Now, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man. Remember, what's kingdom of heaven like? It's like a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Whose vineyard did he look for people to work in? His vineyard, not somebody else's. And when and who did the hiring? The householder did. The man did. He hired them. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. There was an agreement made between this first bunch, wasn't it? And he said, I mean, they agreed for the wage, didn't they? And he said unto them, go ye, and he went out about the third hour. Now, y'all know in the time that the Bible's talking about, when it talks about third hour of the day or whatever, their hours aren't like our hours. Their hours start at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's the first hour of the day is 6 o'clock in the morning. Did y'all know that? So the first hour, that's when their day started. It went from 6 in the morning till 6 in the morning. 6 o'clock at night was it when night started. Now, so 6 o'clock in the morning is the first hour. And he went about the third hour. So what hour is that? That's 9. That's 9 in the morning. Went out at third hour of the day, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Now, what does idle mean? To tell you how far we've gotten degraded in our school system, I remember when I was in kindergarten, that was a long time ago, y'all. When I was in kindergarten, we had these little crafts that we did, and I took, and with glue and beans and, you know, they need to be doing that more at school. But we made these little things and sayings in kindergarten. And my, you know what my saying was? I took those beans and I wrote out, idle hands are the devil's tools. That's how far we've degraded. Teachers wouldn't let kids do that now in schools, would they? All right. Idle. What does idle mean? Idle means you're not doing nothing. Idle means you're standing there not doing anything. Idle. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. That meant they went on their way to work. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. So he went out at dinner time at 12 o'clock and at 3 o'clock. This householder, always looking for people. He didn't just go to the market one time to find the day laborers. He went out all hours of the day, didn't he? And he did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle still at the 11th hour, and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Remember what Jesus said? The last shall be first and the first shall be last. Now, let's see how this plays out. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, that's the last ones, they received every man a penny. Why did they receive every man a penny? Because the householder judged that to be right. Now, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. Wouldn't that frustrate you? Boy, Brother Billy or Tristan, and Mary Elizabeth, Cole, everybody, all of us that know about working, if you had started work at 8 o'clock and your co-worker comes in at 4 o'clock and he works and you get a paycheck and he gets the same paycheck that you got, that would frustrate me. That'd make me murmur too, wouldn't you? That would make me mad. I'd just get so angry about it, wouldn't you? Well, looking at it from a natural mind, that's exactly right. Looking at it from a natural mind, that's exactly the way it is in the world. Not that way in God's kingdom. Now, let's see how this plays out. These last ones just worked an hour. But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee." Jesus says a householder is going to ask them a question. "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last." And then he adds this one that's difficult for some. "For many be called, but few chosen." Now, let's go through these. There's a lot of things. We could talk about this for several weeks, but there's a lot of things that we can glean from this parable about the kingdom. The first ones agreed with the householder to work for a penny. Y'all, real quick, turn over to Exodus 19. I think this is when they agreed with it. This is after the deliverance from out of Egypt's hand. And they came, we're in 19 and 2, "For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him." Listen to this. Here it is. "And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord." They agreed with God to do what he said. They agreed with God to do what he said. Did they keep their bargain? No. Some of them tried. But Israel as a whole, they would forget about God. They wouldn't do his commandments. And what happened? They got in bondage. They had wicked kings rule over them. But when they did right, God blessed them, didn't he? They God blessed them in their life. Now, they agreed. They agreed. Now, talking about first being last, you know the apostle, that they were called first. The Israelite people were called first. Not only by God and in Exodus 19 when he gave them his laws and said, if ye continue therein, then you'll be blessed. He said, this day I've set before you blessing and cursing. And if you don't do it, it's going to turn out bad. If you do it, it's going to turn out good. Now, they were called early, weren't they? And they agreed to do it with a penny. Now, the apostles were also called early, weren't they? They were called to follow the Lord. And before any of the other people were called by the gospel. Y'all seeing this? They were called early. Peter, James, John, Mark, all them. They were called early. The kingdom calls laborers into his vineyard at all times. He's still doing it. He's doing it this morning in churches all over the world. Well, it's nighttime in the other part of the world. Some parts of the world. But they were called early yesterday. Hey, the gospel call still goes out, and from the kingdom's perspective, it don't matter how long you've been working, but just don't stand idle. Just don't stand idle. The kingdom is going to continue to call people into to the labor of his vineyard. Now, the kingdom called, and you know, y'all remember the woman at the well, don't you? Y'all remember her? I don't know if we've delved into her much at all here, but says, but the hour coming, Jesus said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Did you know the Father is still seeking people to worship him? That's what this is talking about. The gospel goes out and it's still, and you know, it's the pillar and ground of truth. The church is. And if it's not preaching truth, then it's not holding up the truth. And it's not founded on the truth. The truth, the church of God has to be, the true church of God has to be founded on truth. And it has to promote truth and send forth truth out. And Jesus says that that's what the church does. And if you want to worship me, then you got to worship me in spirit and in truth. And he still seeks people to do that. Now, so the kingdom still seeks it by the gospel call, doesn't it? It calls it out and says, look, hey, there's work to be done. Get to working. Stop being idle. Now, the ones that were received last, that just worked an hour today, got the same thing that the first ones agreed to for their hire. That tells me that this kingdom of God ultimately has the same thing for everybody. I will enjoy the same blessings of my inheritance in heaven that you will. Did y'all know that we're joint heirs with Christ? Y'all know that? Y'all know the difference between a joint heir and a co-heir? Y'all know what a co-heir is? A co-heir means that you both still are heirs, but the inheritance is split down the middle, or with ever however many. You know, I can illustrate it like this, because this is real. My grandmother and grandfather had 11 children. And when they died, they were going to split up that inheritance 11 different ways. But my Uncle Paul had already died before they died, and he had 3 children, and so had my father. And my father had and mother had 3 children. So that 1/11th was split 3 ways. And my inheritance was split 3 ways. Y'all get it? That's what a co-heir. I didn't get near as much as one of the other brothers or sister did. Y'all got it? That meant that what is 1/3 of an 11th? I don't know. I can't do the math in my head on that one right now. But that's a little portion. My friends, that's not what our portion is in glory. When we get to heaven, we'll have the same access to every bit of the inheritance just like Jesus does. That's amazing to me. And I'm glad some people live their life thinking that and trying to do good because they're looking for a reward in heaven. My friends, heaven is not based upon a reward of something that you do here. Whatever you do here, you're going to reap here. Whatever Jesus did here, you're going to reap in glory. Because He come from there. Now, a joint heir, that's what the difference between a co-heir and a joint heir. A joint heir means that you have the same access to the whole inheritance. And that's what we have as joint heirs with Christ. We're not only joint heirs with one another, but we're joint heirs with Christ. Isn't that a blessing? So we receive the same thing that everybody else does. Of the ones that Christ died for. Of all of His children. And yet, many are called and few are chosen. There's some first that are last and last that are first. Now, he says something else that we can glean from this. God does what He will with His own. It's lawful for Him to do that. It's lawful for you to do that. Can anybody else tell you what to do with what your own is? You have some choices to make, don't you? To do what you will with your own. Now, we live in a place and they say, the only things that are for real that we have to do are death and taxes. So I would not really like to pay all those taxes, but that's part of where we live. That's kind of against my will. But for that which I have, I can choose to buy a car, or I can choose to save it, or I can choose to give it away. It's within my authority to do what I will with my own. Why would we not think and attribute that same benefit to God? Well, God is able to give what He will with His own. That's a great truth, isn't it? That kind of throws the merit system out the window, doesn't it? If God's going to give you a penny, just like He will somebody that is yet to come, and you've been, it's just like some of us been in the church all of our life, and some people might not have been in the church at all, and they might come in at the 6th hour or the 10th hour or the 9th hour. We can't look at them and say, I'm better than you. Ain't that right? These are all things that Jesus is teaching these apostles here. You remember what Peter said? We've forsaken all. What are we going to get? Jesus is answering his question. At the end of the day, all the elect are going to have the same wage. They're going to have the same thing at the end. And it's whatever they have is whatever the householder gave them.
It ain't something they work for. Ain't that right? If it was based on works, then the ones that agreed with a penny at the beginning, they'd have got a whole lot more if it was based on that, wasn't it? It's not what it's based on. Now, many are called, but few are chosen. He says, so the last shall be first and the first shall be last, for many be called, but few chosen. Did you know that the overwhelming part of this is or one overwhelming point of this is that the kingdom doesn't care what time it is, but the call is the same no matter what time of day it is. Don't be idle. You come and work in the kingdom. Be a part of the kingdom. The kingdom is always calling. You remember, it's a net. You remember, it's let down. You can't tell what's down there. It draws all things in. Same thing here, same principle here. It's always calling. It's always going out. It's always telling idle people, stop being idle. It's time for you to get up and move and start working in my kingdom. But you know what? There were some people that were, and it calls many. Isn't that right? This isn't talking about to glory. If you are chosen to go to heaven, then there's going to be a few there. But the Bible don't bear that out. It says that those that are going to be in heaven are going to be more in number than the sand or the stars in heaven. Out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and tribe, and everything. It's not going to be a few people. But you know what? There's the gospel calls a lot of people, but few people are chosen for some things. Did you know the apostles were the only few that were chosen for their station? Sometimes when you are called into the kingdom, you're chosen to something special. I don't know what that is. Some people have been called to a great service. Everybody's called to work in the kingdom, but some people are called to work in different parts of that vineyard. Some people are called to preach the gospel. Some people are called to teach it and have a greater gift to teach. Some people have a great gift and some are called. You remember when Jesus and Peter, again, is at the middle of this thing. You remember after Jesus came and he was resurrected and was on the shore there. And he said, told to Peter, he said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And then John was there, the apostle whom disciple whom Jesus loved. And Peter asked the question, what shall he do? What shall this man do? What did Jesus say to him? That ought not concern you, Peter. You just do what I called you to do. My friends, don't be worried about what God called somebody else to do in the kingdom. Don't be worried about what somebody else is doing in their portion of the vineyard. You work on the vines that God told you to work on. You go out and labor into His field where He told you to work. My friend, I've talked to a lot of ministers and asked them to go to Africa with me. And they say, Brother Paul, I think that work is great, but God hadn't called me to do that. And I say, well, if God hadn't called you to do it, you better not go. Because it'll turn out bad if you do. Y'all see the point? That many are called, but few are chosen, and very few were chosen to sit on the 12 on the judgment seat, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And certainly Paul and all of them did. Peter, they all did that. You know what Paul said? Seeing ye judge yourselves worthy of eternal life, didn't he say that? That's how he put it. Seeing ye yourselves, count yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They certainly did sit as a judge on there. That didn't mean that they weren't going. That didn't mean that they weren't children of God. That's not the point. The point was, they didn't judge themselves as worthy because they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. They were still standing idle, weren't they? They were still mad because other people had it and they didn't. You know, that's really one of the other points here. You know, those ones that were called first, the Jews, they didn't like it that God sent the gospel to the Gentiles, did they? They didn't like that at all. They didn't like it so bad that they killed them for preaching it. They brought Peter under the scrutiny of Judaism when they said, "Why in the world did you go down there and preach to Cornelius?" And Peter says, "God has showed me that I ought not to call that anything that's that God has a people everywhere, and that I ought not to call people unclean that he's cleansed." He said, "They're saved by grace just like we are." Y'all see this kingdom? Y'all see how we enjoy the blessings of it when we put down the old man and don't look at people and say, "Well, I've worked a whole lot longer than they have. I ought to get something better." You see how the kingdom, that it always calls people. It may be calling you today to do something specific in his kingdom. It may be calling you to go to Africa. I don't know. It may be calling you to call somebody on the phone. It may be calling you to pray a prayer for somebody. It may be calling you to join the church. It may be calling you, I don't know. There's 1,000,000,000 different things that the kingdom is calling you to do. My admonition to you is, listen to it. If he's calling, you do it. You do it. Don't stand idle. Get to work in his kingdom. And it'll be a blessing. And whatever you leave behind, you're going to get oh so much more, because there's blessings in obedience. May God bless you is my prayer. Doors of church are open for reception of members. May God be praised today.